On Community Connections, it's time for this week's star interview.
Our star guest today has been working in the media for over 40 years, being particularly associated with us here in the South and West. David Fitzgerald's radio programmes were an institution until changes dictated he should move on. Fitz, as he's better known to us, has many other projects on the go, including the British Comedy Society. He's president of the Royal British Legion Dartmoor branch, and has written four children's books with Falklands veteran Simon Weston. I'm astonished he's even got time to speak to us, but I'm very pleased to say he has. Fitz, welcome to Community Connections.
Good morning to you.
Tell me, you are a West Country born and bred, aren't you?
Yes, I was born on Dartmoor, 1962, a little chilly, but I was actually, but 1963 was when the winter really hit Dartmoor, and apparently my dad used to carry me through 6 foot snowdrifts when I was 1 year old. It was, one hell of a way to arrive on this planet. But I was born on a little village called Bridford, which is just on the edge of the moor in the Teen Valley.
There is something very special about the West Country, isn't there? We're obviously in Dorset, but you can measure Dorset right the way down to the tip of Cornwall, and there's a certain feeling about it you don't get anywhere else.
It certainly is. I've travelled through 44 countries around the world, but I always make it back to Devon. I did, 7 years on Sky News, but also came home every time possible to my beloved county. So, yeah, I love this place. I'm just looking out over the edge of Dartmoor now. I'm just making plans to go up and visit friends on Dartmoor in a few moments' time.
Fitz, where did your love of broadcasting come from? Was it inbuilt in you when you were born, do you think?
I don't think so, no. I have absolutely no qualifications. The headmaster described me as next to a moron, and I answered, "Would you like me to move then, sir?" So he had it in for me for the rest of my educational career. I hasten to add, some 20 years later, when he saw me on Sky News, he phoned up and said, "Oh, you were such a model student. So proud of you and the way you've achieved." Yeah, right. You're such a hypocrite. So, I don't think I sort of fell into broadcasting. I was employed at Devon Air Radio, which is gone. Sound in Guildford, which is gone. Invicta Radio in Kent, which I think burnt down, gone. Television Southwest in Plymouth, that's now a rubble-strewn car park. Actually, I noticed even the hospital I was born at was now a supermarket. So my blue plaque would go up over the fish counter, and they went and closed the fish counter 2 years ago as well. So, no, my career started by sheer chance, and I've been at it since 1980. I walked into Devon Air Radio in December of 1980, sadly on the day to the hour that they shot John Lennon.
Back in the day, Fitz, was it easier to get seen and noted at a local radio level than perhaps it is these days?
Oh, yeah. Well, there is no local radio left, I'm sorry to say, apart from the BBC. How long that's going to last, I'm not sure. But if anyone wants to start out in television or radio and get local experience, I'm afraid that's gone these days. I was talking to a friend this weekend who's desperate to get into the industry. I don't know how you do it these days. I look at the hundreds of digital channels these days, and I do wonder how you get the grounding. I can also understand, having run my own radio station, the finances behind it are massive. And we were very lucky when I started South Hams Radio. It's only a tiny one, but financially it was on a tightrope. It was swallowed up by GWR, and the rest is history. It's now all amalgamated. There are no local radio stations left.
You mentioned that you've been working in radio. You've done a lot of television as well. I can remember seeing you many, many years ago, along with the great yellow bear Pudsey at a Children in Need event. And you loved getting out to see your listeners and then meeting you.
Yes, Pudsey is a great financial fundraiser for a brilliant charity. Obviously, Children in Need. In fact, I was interviewed by Jeremy Vine. What I didn't say was that Pudsey was stood beside me at the time because we were on radio. We just wrecked Floella Benjamin's office at Exeter University, taken the mirror off the back of her door. We were desperately trying to comb Pudsey's fur into the right wing and get Pudsey ready for the audience. It was great. I mean, I've had an incredible career with puppets. Gus Honeybun is probably the one that will hang over me for the most of my life. I did 7 years with the rabbit, and he's now an exhibition at the Box, the museum in Plymouth, as am I. There's a photograph of me, which is really depressing. I'm 64 and I've just discovered I'm a museum piece, wearing a jacket that didn't fit then and it certainly doesn't fit now.
I've often said to my children, Fitz, that we go somewhere and for them it's a museum. For me, it's just a reflection of how I grew up.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I have just cleared out a cupboard. My wife and I are deciding to clean the house out, and I'm giving all my TSW stuff to a Gus Honeybun fan called Paul, and he doesn't know what he's going to get. In fact, I've just found the script in a cupboard. When we said goodbye to him, it was myself and Ruth Langsford, in theory, released Gus back onto Dartmoor, and I've just found the script. And I've also just put it down in this office of mine and I can't find it again. But not to worry. Everyone has collections. My wife says that the house, and I collect all sorts of things, is like a cheap museum that you enter and immediately regret paying for it. She's so kind. Stamps, cigarette cards, coins, medals, banknotes, a vintage car in the garage, basically any sort of clutter that I can scrape around me, I love.
Now, you have done a lot of work beyond broadcasting, and I'm thinking particularly some of the very worthwhile charities that you work for. You are the president of the Royal British Legion Dartmoor branch. That must be quite humbling.
I work with the Royal British Legion. Believe it or not, that was going to be my preferred career, was to go into the army. Both my parents were wartime RAF. I joined I can give you my number, 24556695E Company 1 Wessex. You never forget your military number. I was pretty useless. My best friend, my greatest friend, is Simon Weston from the Falklands, the veteran. And he and I met up in 1990. And we've been together ever since, doing military charity work, trying to get the message across that facial disfigurement is not an issue. Sometimes it wins, sometimes it fails. But the Royal British Legion have always been there for people, for families, and for the structure when people come out of the military. Some, unfortunately, have a little bit of an issue when they can't readjust to Sibbie Street. And that's what we try and do. And I'm just working on the Devon Festival of Remembrance, shooting films and what was the last one I did? My local village walked 200 miles around the county and raised well over £6,000. I hasten to add, it was such an absolute trial that they put themselves through. They had to visit, I think it was something like 130 pubs on the way. And my heart went out to them. Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. Not so much a walk, but a vague stagger towards the end. They did it in a remarkable time. It was like 10 days, I think. Beats my record. I managed to lose them somewhere in North Devon, and they were fished out of a bar. They were supposed to be going to a specific group of pubs, but they managed to spread their wings.
Let's actually talk, if we can, Fitz, about your friendship with Simon Weston, somebody that is, in a way, as you say, the face of the Falklands, the face of what can happen in wartime. You worked with him, didn't you, to write some children's books?
Indeed, yes. It was all based around a horse called Nelson, which existed at one point. It was the Simon lived on the route of a horse-drawn milk float. Mike the Milk was the man who brought him milk each morning, and he gave me the idea He said, "Right, let's write a story on Nelson." Nelson is, by the way, is the village where Simon was born in near a place called Gwaelirigaeth, in just to the east of Cardiff, I think. Simon, if you're listening, I do apologise. I'm not too sure where it is. I've only been through Nelson a couple of times. And Simon gave me the characters, the rugby playing ducks, the all quacks. There was Cardigan. He's a retired racehorse. He used to be a jumper. yeah, I know. It's absolute drivel. And there were, I wrote these things with him years ago. And it wasn't until I was clearing out the house, I just found four copies and reread them. And they were published with a company called Goma, which is in a wonderful place called Llandysul in North Wales. And it was real fun. Simon set me the challenge because basically he used to read books to his children and now grandchildren, and they were incredibly dull. He wanted humour. And that's one thing that Simon can guarantee from me, that there is always humour there. I've written for Spitting Image, and I've got great comedian friends like Joe Pasquale. I would say Matt Tebbutt as well from Saturday Morning Kitchen. He's more a comedian than a chef because I've just finished working with him this weekend. And we've agreed to do something else. The only point is that both of us may have had a little glass of sherry after the event, and we're not too sure what we've agreed to, but not to worry. Yeah, back to the books. Four of them are out there and really loved it. Even His Majesty the King has got a copy of one of them because there was a great cartoon of him in one of the books. Bango's my OBE, but I can assure you. But Simon's now got his CBE.
He certainly has. Well, yours may not be too far behind, Fitz. We'll start a campaign for you.
Yeah. I never put your head above the parapet. That's something else I learned in the army.
On the subject of comedy, you also helped to set up the British Comedy Society, celebrating the lives of our great comedians and how many there have been over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, we put the blue plaques up to the comedians. In fact, I must admit, we haven't done it for ages. One of the original gentlemen who set it up, I was on the original team back in, blimey, 1993 or 4, I can't remember. The first one I attended was Tony Hancock with Ernie Wise, Patricia Hayes, the Bolting Brothers, Spike Milligan. Unfortunately, the list goes on because I don't think any of the original, the original guests at that very first, they've all passed on. But it was a great opportunity to raise money. A lot of it went to the actors' home to keep our wonderful old characters, one of our old TV stars who have fallen on worse times, or actually some of them were in quite a state. That's where the money went. And it gave me an opportunity to meet some remarkable people. The cast of The Carry-Ons, Jack Douglas was a great friend of mine, the Carry-On star. What you saw is what you get. He was the clumsiest bloke I've ever come across. In The Carry-Ons and in life, the things that he broke were remarkable. Walked down my garden path once and smashed every garden light, then got into the house and pulled the phone out of the socket by mistake. And I thought, this really is being in a Carry-On film. But yeah, I've met some remarkable people. By the way, the one plaque that I really do remember was the plaque to Benny Hill at the top of Queensgate in London, overlooking the Albert Memorial. And we got Phil Collins to do it. And Phil was gracious. He's a great comedy fanatic. And as he got down, he looked at me and said, "I don't remember Benny living here." He said, "Yeah, actually, we've stuck it on the wrong flat, but let's just move on, shall we?" So there we are. You have an exclusive. The Benny Hill plaque's on the wrong building.
Somehow that seems appropriate, Fitz.
Oh, absolutely. The gentleman who owned the flat, he wasn't complaining because it probably added a couple of thousand quid to the value of the property. Well, we did one for Sid James as well. And, I'm just trying to think, Kenneth Williams. Oh, wonderful Kenneth. Never got to meet him, sadly. And that's one of my greatest regrets. I didn't get to meet some of the greats. Simon, however, did. He ended up an evening with Morecambe and Wise in the BBC bar. Absolutely brilliant. And Peter Cook and Dudley Moore spotted him in the high street just going into a TV studio, and he had a great conversation with them. But, yeah, I really do regret not being able to meet some of my comedic heroes.
At the risk of being a little bit controversial, what are your feelings about comedy today compared to comedy then?
Certainly, there is. I do get annoyed at some of the people who complain about comedy. If you don't want to watch it, then get out of it. I have Mick Miller as a great friend who, to be honest with you, I've never heard him be either controversial or foul. Or he's just very clever. I'm actually, what's the date today? Ooh, I must book. Next month I'm meeting up with Simon Evans, who has, he's on tour again. I've just been up to help him out with a gig in Taunton, where we were. I think it was not Taunton, Tiverton, beg your pardon. Some of his stuff is pretty close to the mark, but it's comedic observation. Mick Miller is just the standard joke. I'm just trying to think. Frank Carson. I once spent half an hour in the back of a taxi with Frank Carson. Felt like a month, but it was interesting. Again, not that offensive. Some of them, I tell you who is my absolute hero now, is Lee Mack. Timing is brilliant. If you watch Not Going Out, which is absolutely superb, I hasten to add, partially written by Simon Evans, you can see his name go past at the end. That is the absolute pinnacle of comedy, one of the longest running comedy shows going, I think, nowadays. So, yeah, when it comes to safe comedy, yeah, it can be fine, but it is comedy in the eye of the beholder. If you're not happy with what somebody says, and please don't get too offensive on air, and that's the other thing, on air or on stage, then walk away from it if you don't like it. As long as it's not going to cause, mass insurrection. God knows I've done that at times. Always check your audience, as I worked out at the weekend. I'm not going to tell that story. Move on.
We will move on. Fitz, you have done so much in your life. There's so much we could speak about and so little time in which to talk about it. But I did just want to mention before we wrap up, your company and organisation that you run, TFB.
Yeah, it's been running now for years. It just covers all sorts of stuff, script writing, television production. In fact, this weekend I was feeding stuff to ITV from Exeter Cathedral when the bishop did an abseil of 140, 160 feet. So I went up there to film that. The week before, as I say, I was at Crab Fest with Matt Tebbutt. TFB got asked to come in and host that. What am I doing? Bus awards, I think, at the end of this week. Love buses, buses and cars and anything, trains and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, the TFB, I can't tell you what it stands for. That would be unforgivable. But it was a comment muttered to me by Noel Edmonds many years ago when I was working with him, and I just took the initials of what he said to me, and TFB has now been, I don't know, how old is it, 35 years, 45 years, but it's worked nicely. Say, traveled the world, 42 countries, 44 countries now, been shot at in three. It's been an interesting life, and there's more to come, I'm very glad to say.
We certainly hope so. David Fitzgerald, thank you so much for joining us on the programme today. If people want to find out more about TFB or yourself, what's the best way they can do that?
It's got a webpage, all the W's, TFB Communications, Tango Foxtrot Bravo Communications.co.uk. Or you can always find me on Facebook as well. In fact, if you click on David Fitzgerald, you'll see on one side Simon standing beside me and Baz Barrett on the other, who's a friend. He stepped on an IED in Afghanistan, and he's fought his own demons and is an absolute brilliant after-dinner speaker himself. So, you can see my life trickling by. In a few moments' time, I've just got to upload the footage that was taken at Exeter Cathedral and the dangling bishop. Actually, I've got to take my hat off. I've done some stupid things in my time. I hate heights. I've flown with the Red Arrows upside down at 12,000 feet over RAF Akrotiri, but no way am I climbing those steps to throw myself off a 140-foot cathedral tower on a rope. I just admired the bishop brilliantly. Mike, if you are listening, Mike Harrison, well done. He looked a bit shaky when he got down.
I'm sure he would take his mitre off to you as well, Fitz. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll just say to our listeners, if anyone has an idea of what TFB stands for, then answers on the back of a postcard or a sealed down envelope, as we used to say back in the 80s. David Fitzgerald, yeah. Fitz, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a delight, a laugh, a pleasure, and very thoughtful.
Thank you.